WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium, and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium, and lanthanum, and osmium, and astatine, and radium, and gold, protactinium, and indium, and gallium, and iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium.
That's more than 40 years old, but it never really gets old. You never really get tired of that. The version of The Elements, written by Tom Lehrer, no relation. Now, does everybody remember the periodic table from science class, that chart that neatly arranges the elements of the universe into 118 little boxes, with hydrogen in the upper left and helium in the upper right? Now comes word that a new element has been discovered, but as my next guest will explain, it might take a while before it gets a name. Tao Gray's book, The Elements, is a photographic walk through the periodic table that he has turned into one of the first iPad apps. He was just showing it to me. It's absolutely gorgeous, as well as fun. He is a science enthusiast known for crazy experiments that you should not try at home, but he says more kids would be trying them at school if it weren't for liability-avoiding administrations. So we've got a few things to talk about. Tao, welcome to WNYC.
Delighted to be here.
And do we even need to do this? Do you want to explain quickly for those of us who haven't been in chemistry class for a while now how the periodic table is put together, having to do with protons and electrons?
Well, the periodic table is a list of all possible different kinds of atoms. And what an element is, it's a substance where all the atoms have the same number of protons in them. So if you have carbon, that's number 6, all the atoms in carbon have 6 protons.
And now that number 117 is out, do you actually make a new element, or does it have to be discovered?
Well, an element is really just a number. It's all sort of a mathematical thing. You can name any number, 346, that's an element. The only question is, has anybody made any of it? Has anybody seen any? Does any exist? And in the case of 117, it was fairly recently the first time anybody had verifiably made any atoms of it. It was always there in principle before. It's just nobody had seen it and measured any of its properties.
And is there a limit? Because the version of the periodic table that we were looking at this morning goes up to atomic number 118, but there are some blanks. The new one is number 117, but this version of the periodic chart had up to 118 already.
Right. Well, and actually 118 has been discovered some time ago. So 117 is actually the last one up through 118 to be discovered. So there's, in an up-to-date table, there's no more holes left. But 118 is not the limit. There's nothing magic about that number. That's just a question of the printing format, that if beyond 118, you'd go to a new row, and they're not going to put a new row on the table until somebody's discovered an element in it.
So 118 was discovered before 117,
yes,
because of the nature and the characteristics of the element and what row it would go in?
Just how hard it is to make through nuclear reactions. I mean, this is alchemy, right? You're taking different elements and you're transforming them. And it happened to be that, for whatever detailed reasons, they happened to run into 118 before 117.
And listeners, you can go to periodictable.com if you want to see Tao Gray's version of the periodic table. We have a link to it on our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to go through there. And with respect to the names, it was just in February of this year that number 112 got the name copernicium. But when was it discovered?
It was discovered, I don't know the exact date, but many years ago. It typically, in most cases, has taken about a decade between discovery and naming for the last, couple dozen elements that are being discovered in recent times. And it often takes longer to agree on a name than it did to discover the thing in the first place, because naming, of course, involves committees and politics, and therefore is a difficult process.
So, listeners, we're going to bypass the committees and the politics right now, as we so often do, by taking your direct suggestions for names for this new element, number 117. If you would like to suggest a name for the nameless element 117, call 212-433-WNYC right now, 212-433-9692, or you can post it to our webpage, 212-433-9692 on the phone, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show on the web. And Teo Gray, for some reason you would like them to use the letters J or Q included in the name. Why?
Well, preferably starting with J or a Q, because the atomic symbol typically starts with the first one or two letters of the name. So, aluminum is AL, for example. And one of the fun things is to try to spell words using only element symbols, because then you can, think as thorium, iodine, potassium. But there are no elements whose symbols include J or Q. So that cuts out a whole bunch of words.
And this is another thing that you have going online, another link that we have on our page to your stuff, Spell with the Elements.
Spell with Elements, yeah. And we'll even sell you a banner printed out with beautiful photographs of the elements that spell out your name or your word or whatever.
And by the way, his iPad version of the periodic table is partly in 3D, and you actually need special glasses to look at some of it, right?
Yeah, each of the samples that are in the iPad version of the book, you can spin it around with your finger and see it from all sides. Or you can bring it up full screen in a stereo 3D view, and then we can sell you little glasses that let you see that as an actual 3D object popping off the screen, which is about as close as you can get to actually having the object in your hand.
And speaking of places where 3D glasses are relevant, Peter in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi. Peter, are you there? All right, Peter, now we got you. Hi.
Hey, unobtainium.
Unobtainium.
Which refers to?
To the Avatar film.
Right. You know about Unobtainium?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I think that name actually predates Avatar when I heard them
Well,
use
I think
that.
It came from NASA, but was popularized by
Certainly
Avatar.
Certainly popularized by Avatar, yeah.
How do you name an element? I mean, what would be relevant to, a particular collection of protons, et cetera? I mean, how did hydrogen or oxygen get their names?
Well, of course, some elements like those, they've had their names for a very long time. Hydrogen comes from water generator. It was generated from water, hydrogen. The more recent elements that are sort of discovered in this century and the last that were created by man from nothing, essentially, by alchemy, they're typically, the rule is whoever discovered it gets to name it. This is, of course, where the politics and the committees come in. People argue about who actually discovered it first and, therefore, who has the right to name it.
Troblemium. David in Queens has a J word, I think. Hi, David.
Hi. I thought it would be great. My son's birthday is January 17th. I thought this was 117. His name is Jonathan. Jonathanium. And his grandfather's a physicist.
Perfect. Perfect.
Why not? Josh in Chappaqua has another one. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
So you want to name element 117 what?
Well, two choices. One would be Putanium for Vladimir Putin or Putin in French. And the other one would be Zalmaninium for my dad.
Hmm. Putanium for Vladimir Putin.
Yes. Well, actually, it was discovered by a joint U.S.-Russian team. So I'm not sure exactly how they're going to handle that in terms of country or such names.
Dale in Seaford Harbor, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dale. You have a name?
Yes, I do. Hi. I'm enjoying this immensely. My suggestion is, because 117 is the next to last now, penultium, as in penultimate.
Yeah, penultium.
Penultium. Because it's the second to last. Thanks,
right.
Dale.
It's nice to see that people so far have been following the IUPAC rule that all new element names must end in IUM. So that's one of the actual hard requirements they have.
And what does that suffix actually mean? Anything?
I don't know. I think it just kind of means element.
I guess it's come to mean element, right? And somebody posted that 117 was berkelium bombarded with calcium.
Yes.
So you would take a name from that in some cases?
I don't know. Berkeley already has city, state, and country. There's Berkelium, Californium, and Americium. Dubna, Russia, also has the complete triad there. But I don't know how many more they can name after people at Berkeley.
Let me digress for a moment, because I mentioned earlier that you're known for your crazy science experiments. You have a book called Theo Gray's Mad Science, Experiments You Can Do at Home But Probably Shouldn't. Is this a sneaky way of getting kids into science?
I think it has that effect. It makes, you know, the goal of the book and the popular science column that it's based on is to show that science is not really just numbers and figures and memorizing boring facts, which unfortunately is how it's often presented in schools. So, you know, we maybe go a little too far in the other direction of science is all about blowing things up and burning them down and seeing, you know, what kind of dramatic things we can do. But, you know, it provides a bit of a counterbalance.
So it's a way to get kids into science and, more to the point, perhaps science teachers into being more daring in the classroom?
Well, it is it's a shame that over the past few decades, practical, hands-on lab science instruction has almost disappeared from public schools. And, you know, this is a combination of it's expensive to do it and they don't have any money, but also it's potentially dangerous, and parents tend to get freaked out if they find out, oh, my kids are playing with chemicals, they have acids in the classroom. And, you know, it sort of freaks people out who don't really understand that they probably drank some acid for breakfast if they had orange juice. You know, they just drank some citric acid, and the fact that there's acid in the classroom is not necessarily something you need to get all freaked out about.
Liability is dissuading schools from having more fun in science class?
I think that's a fair statement. Although injuries in science classrooms are incredibly rare, they have occurred and they have resulted in, you know, people saying, well, you know, we should use computer simulations instead. We can do chemistry, you know, there's chemistry simulation software. That's just as good. Why don't we do that? I'm interested to note that that is not the response when somebody is hurt playing football, for example. If somebody sprains their ankle or even breaks an arm, they don't say, oh, well, I guess that was a bad idea. Let's cancel all the sports programs at our school and they can play video game football instead. That's just as good, isn't it? You know, why not?
Theo Gray, author of The Elements, both the moving iPad version and the static but absolutely gorgeous hard copy version. Also the author of Theo Gray's Mad Science, Experiments You Can Do at Home But Probably Shouldn't, talking primarily about what we should name the newly discovered element 117. What do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And he wants J words and P was the other one,
Q,
right?
Q,
of course. Things that start with J or things that start with Q. And Tom in Manhattan came up with them. He posted, starting with a J now, gymnasium. And he also asks, tell us something about this element. What are more of its characteristics?
Well, so there's not a whole lot to say about 117. In the history of mankind, six atoms of it have been detected. So there's not a lot you can say. The half-life is of one isotope is about 20 milliseconds, 20,000th of a second. The other isotope, of which only a single atom has ever been made, they estimate the half-life around 60 or 70 milliseconds, if I have my notes here. It was made by bombarding berkelium atoms with a beam of calcium atoms. And if you add up the atomic numbers of berkelium and calcium, you should get 117. And it took them a long time to see those six atoms, a period of months of bombardment of this berkelium target. It's really, I mean, the standards for having discovered a new element are pretty lax. You know, if you can claim discovery on six atoms, that's quite remarkable.
Which begs the question, why do we care? Why should we care?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, certainly, you know, no elements up in the hundreds, you know, in the late hundreds anyway, are ever going to have any kind of actual practical application. You can't make more than a few atoms at a time, and they last for small fractions of a second. So they're not useful as elements. They are useful, for example, in confirming theoretical calculations to, you know, help see if we actually understand how the nucleus works at those very large sizes. And there's also some speculation that there may be isotopes of some of these elements, or perhaps elements around 120 or 122 that are referred to as an island of stability, that that may have much longer half-lives. They're not going to be stable, but they might have long enough half-lives that you could actually study their chemistry and, you know, learn some interesting things. But basically, I think it's fair to say they are of academic interest, not practical.
Jeff in Marstown, you have a name for this element?
Well, listening to you speak, I'm thinking if you made it from berkelium and calcium, you could call it bercalcium. But my suggestion was that we call it obamium and classify it among the Nobel gases. And I know that Obama hasn't really synthesized this element yet, but he also hasn't earned his Nobel Prize yet.
Right. Well, that would be a good suggestion for 118, which is, in fact, in the noble gas column.
And Rebecca wants to break the mold altogether of how we name elements. Rebecca in Newark, hi.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I have a couple of names for that, but I also have another element for 119. For 117, starting with a Q would be quantium, and starting with a J would be jihad, like the journey, jihadium. Both of them relate to the beam. For 119, I would actually call that love if we put the body back into science, politics, and economics. There's an alchemy to love. They've already shown that water can be affected by different energies that are constructive or deconstructive.
And
Pathy shows that the nervous system is an organ which bridges to the soul. And babies and animals, like dolphins especially, they show with breathing regulation when the heart, the soul, and the libidic are in alignment, that energy is actually created and regulated.
And we're out of time, Rebecca. I'm sorry to say that was more than we bargained for in that call. But she wants to name an element love. And that's where we leave it with Teo Gray, author of The Elements. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
There's sulfur, californium, and fermium, berkelium, and also mendelevium, einsteinium, nobelium, and argon, kryptonium, radon, xenon, zinc, and rhodium, and chlorine, carbon, cobalt, copper, tungsten, tin, and sodium. These are the only ones of which the news has come to Harvard. And there may be many others, but they haven't been discovered.